coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai and Toyota Studios right here in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. Want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. I'm not Rick Cleveland. He's on assignment this morning. Want to wish him safe travels to Birmingham, Alabama, as he covers women's basketball on ESPN Plus this morning. But as always, joining me in the studio is Coach Mark Lassiter. Dalton Orwig is on the board, and Phillips running the phone lines this morning. You can reach us on those communication lines at 251-343-0106. And guys, this morning, the Prep Sports Report is dedicating the show to a couple of great guys that we lost this week as part of the Alabama High School Athletic Association family. One, an outstanding official, Willie Crabtree, 26 years an official, was scheduled to become the new president of the Mobile Officials Association, passed away this past week due to a heart attack. And just on day before yesterday, Emmanuel Bell, the head coach of the Winona Dragons in Birmingham, Alabama, the Lady Dragons, he passed away with a long fight with lung cancer. And we lost two great men and two great pillars of our communities. So this show, the Prep Sports Report, is dedicated to both of them. And in this first segment of the Prep Sports Report, we're going to share some great memories and some history of these two great guys that meant so much to the Prep Sports Report. And we'll start off with Willie Crabtree this morning, Coach Lassiter. Good morning, and always a pleasure to see you, brother.
Thank you, Corey. It is great to be here, and I'm just so proud we have a few moments to talk about these great men that we have known and loved and watched perform their skills for many years. And they are both going to be truly, truly missed. And Willie Crabtree, just a fantastic official in this area for many, many years, and just did a great job every Friday night. Or Thursday night, he was always doing his job 100%, hustling, and he did it for the right reasons. He did it for the kids. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for those kids, to make sure when those kids played a game of football that they were in a game that was officiated correctly, so that they could play a game that was honorable to the game. And he was an honor to be a coach watching him. It was an honor for me to watch him officiate. And I'm just so pleased that we can talk about him this morning. Our hearts are all very heavy. And it's a hard thing to do. What we're doing this morning is not going to be real easy for a lot of folks. But it is a time to reminisce and celebrate the life of these men.
We're going to celebrate the life of Willie Crabtree today. A little bio on Mr. Crabtree. He officiated for 26 years. He officiated in six Alabama High School Athletic Association state championship games, numerous high all-star games from across the state he was a part of. He officiated in the Mobile Youth Football and the Mobile Youth Football Conference. He was on the crew for the first ever South Alabama football game against Hargrave Military Academy on September 5th, 2009. He was just elected president for the Metro Mobile Football Officials Association. He was an outstanding AHSAA football instructor. He was a district official of the year. Always approachable, like Coach Lassiter said, not only by the players but the coaches also. He'll be laid to rest this morning. Visitation is from 9 to 11 a.m. at St. Matthew's Catholic Church here in Mobile, Alabama. A mass will follow at 11 a.m. And again, he will be buried at Mobile Memorial Garden Cemetery. And just so many kind words that have been sent his way to his family, and we want to send our condolences and wish the best to his family. This past year in Auburn, He was the 2A Super 7 back judge and just did that with a lot of passion as he approached each and every game with a lot of passion. And so many phone calls and so many text messages to myself, just speaking, and even on Facebook on the AHSAA website, talking about how much Willie Crabtree meant to the association and is going to be missed. So we just again want to send our prayers and condolences not only to the local officials association, the state association, and definitely Willie Crabtree's family as they lay him to rest today. In North Alabama, a very near and dear friend to me, Emmanuel Bell, lost his battle with lung cancer. And Coach Bell has been a frequent guest on this show, and you know, the most thing that's near and dear to my heart is here's somebody who's battling lung cancer and continued to fight the fight, and did not give up. Last year he lost state championship and was on the bench coaching his team with surgical gloves on, just to show that he was not going to give up his fight against cancer and to be an inspiration and a role model to so many young ladies. Coach Bell was a 5-time state champion at Winona, had over 25 years of coaching experience, was 530 and 194 overall at Winona, but it was more than wins and losses for Coach Bell, because the type of role model and the passion he showed those young ladies, and not just the young ladies, just the Winona family, it was just tremendous to get to know Coach Bell.
Coach Bell had the influence of so many lives in Birmingham, Alabama, not just with the kids he coached or the people in his school, but folks all over the city, all over the state of Alabama, who have known him and watched him. I have watched him from afar for many, many years, known what an impact he's had. You can see there's all kinds of excerpts that you'll see from students that he coached. You can see there's a picture from 2 or 3 weeks ago of one of his players just jumping up and hugging him after a ball game. And that was as recently as, less than a month ago. And he's battled this thing every step of the way. And when I see things like that and I see the guy stand out there, stand in the face of it and still coach his kids because he believes in what he does, it touches my heart. It reminds me what we're here to do. We teach our kids, you fight to the very end. Until that last whistle blows, you don't quit. And that's what Emmanuel Bell did. That's what he did. He lived what he taught. He lived it. It's very difficult to talk about these things this morning, to see what these guys have done and how they did it. And gosh, Coach Emmanuel Bell standing out there with cancer. No, it's eating him up, and he's still coaching every step of the way until he just couldn't do it another day.
I mean, here's a coach, again, who won 4 consecutive state titles from 2014 to 2017. And to tie him into Mobile, Alabama locally, I'll never forget when he was beat at the buzzer by Coach Woody Head in Faith Academy in 2013. Finally made it to the state championship game. And then a year later, he said, "Corey, I will take that as motivation. I will use that. I'll show that over and over and over to my girls, because if we finish the deal one play here or one play there, we have an opportunity to become state champions." Well, the next year, he won his first at Winona, and he was just so happy, and he thought back to what it felt like the year previous and losing at the buzzer in the state championship game to Faith Academy, and that was a great game in and of itself. But Coach Bell is just a legend in Birmingham and the Winona community, and just an inspiration to so many others. And he fought it. His motto was faith, not fear. And that's exactly how he attacked and approached not only the game of life, but basketball, and it just served as an inspiration to so many others. And again, The Prep Sports Report this morning is dedicated to two great men, Willie Crabtree and Emmanuel Bell, who we both know have earned their angel wings and will continue to be missed. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next on the Prep Sports Report, we'll dive right into high school basketball action. Area tournament starts on Monday. We have everyone still alive in the area tournament, 1A through 7A. We'll give you a rundown on the who, what, when, where, and why of girls and boys area tournaments here in the local area.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip on the phone lines joining you this beautiful Saturday morning. And a lot of high school basketball winding down. Area tournament play will start. But before we go into high school basketball, just want to make sure everybody tunes in for the duration of the Prep Sports Report this morning, because we're going to have a special guest on to begin the second hour of PSR. We're very excited to be joined this morning by Terrell Owens, NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens. Will be joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report, and I know Coach Lasseter, we want to thank him for getting on Terrell. And at 9:30, you look at another special guest, it'd be Brian Blackman, the new special teams coordinator from the Troy Trojans, who will be coming to Mobile today to play South Alabama at the Metro Center in a doubleheader in basketball. So, again, please tune in to the second hour of the Prep Sports Report, because the one and only T.O. will be joining us, and you don't want to miss that or Coach Blackman.
It's going to be pretty exciting. You know, I got to see T.O. at the Hall of Fame induction, and he's kind of hard to track down sometimes, you know, but we finally have been able to get him. He's going to come in and talk about the Super Bowl and his Super Bowl experience and some of the things about himself growing up. And hopefully it'll be I know it's going to be a good little interview, and I can't wait to talk to him. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
That's going to be good. Perfect time to get him on the air, right. Coach. Thank you so much for reaching out to him. And, I mean, that's a guy who's seen it all. He played a bunch of different sports growing up, had to go to a small college and work his way into the NFL, and then from there reached the height of the NFL, playing in a Super Bowl and also eventually the Hall of Fame. So I can't wait to talk to him. And then with Brian Blackman and just the turnover there at Troy, it's such an important year for them coming up in football. Can't wait to see what he thinks about them going into this offseason.
Exactly. And I wonder if I understand, we cannot ask Coach Blackman anything about who they are recruiting. That's mm-hmm. They can't do that. We can talk about who they have already signed. In December, they've already early signing day. We can talk about that, but nobody coming up on this national signing day, so we're not going to go there. But really, I really want to talk about, you know, who they signed and their transition. I mean, his transition from high school ball to college ball, and what's going on at Troy right now. It must be an exciting time with new coach Chip Lindsey coming in and Coach Blackman getting promoted. That'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely will be. And you look at the area basketball tournaments that will be starting this coming Monday from a boys and girls standpoint, and we'll start right off with 7A Area 1 boys, and that will be at Baker. And you start off Tuesday, will be Davidson versus Bryant. The winner of that game will play Baker on Thursday. MGM versus Theodore will also be on Thursday. And if you look at the parity, the thing I want to talk about in area tournament basketball is the parity throughout the season, because just the other night, this past week, Theodore upsets McGill Tulane in boys basketball. And that just goes to show, I know 2 weeks ago in girls basketball, the Baker Lady Hornets upset the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets, who were number two in the state at the time. So a lot of parity in boys and girls basketball. But that 7A Area 1 boys tournament will start at Baker on Tuesday. And then when you go to the 7A boys Area 2 tournament at Fairhope, Fairhope's done an outstanding job with their interim coach, and that area tournament is going to start on Wednesday. You'll have Fairhope, taking on Murphy, and Foley taking on McGill, with that championship area tournament being held next Friday. And we'll talk to Philip Murphy from McGill Toulon about their preparation for the area tournament, because 7A basketball is a lot different than the 1A through 6A classifications here in the state of Alabama, just due to the fact there's only 32 teams in 7A. And because of that, there's no sub-regional play, whereas in 1A through 6A, there are sub-regional games. 6A boys will be held at Blount. It will be started on Wednesday. You have Blount versus Saraland and Baldwin County versus BC Rain, with that area championship being held next Friday. You move over to 6A Area 2. That area tournament is going to be held at Daphne. You look at Daphne versus Robertsdale on Thursday and Gulf Shores versus Spanish Fort. Had an opportunity to see Gulf Shores play Cottage Hill last night, and Gulf Shores is a very scrappy team. That'll be a great matchup for Jimbo Tolbert and his Toros next Thursday. That championship game of the area tournament will be next Saturday, a week from today also. Moving down to classification 5A Area 1, that will be held at LaFleur on Tuesday. You'll have Satsuma taking on St. Paul's. St. Paul's lost a very close game last night to UMS Wright, and it was a standing room only at St. Paul's gym. And also Faith versus Vigor. And Vigor and John Davis have had an outstanding season. They're trying to keep their season alive, taking on Chad Applin. That will be an outstanding matchup on Thursday of next week. The winner of the Satsuma-St. Paul's game will take on LaFleur, who won that area. And in 5A Area 2 at Jackson, Centronelle on Tuesday takes on Wilcox, and the winner will play the Jackson Aggies on Thursday. Moving down to the 4A Area 1 boys, this to me, guys, is one of the most exciting areas in the entire state of Alabama, and I'm going to tell you why. Thursday, don't want to miss it. It will be held at Williamson High School. Williamson will be taking on W.S. Neal, but the game that's going to be for all the marbles is UMS Wright taking on Escambia County at 6 o'clock p.m. this coming Thursday. And I say it's for all the marbles because three out of the top 10 teams in the 4A poll come from this 4A Region 1. So a great team that's ranked in the top 10 is going to go home in the first round of the area tournament. And that's unfortunate, but that's how the draw is. That championship of the 4A Area 1 tournament will be held on Saturday, Coach.
You know, and those things happen. You know, sometimes you get – when you're in – it happens in football, basketball, every sport that you see. Sometimes you end up in a bracket, and it may be the two top teams in the state in that bracket. Okay, and they end up, and they have to play each other now. Okay, and then one of them gets beat, one of them may not. Maybe there's three teams that have beaten each other, and they maybe the top five altogether of those three teams are in the top five in the state in their classification, and somebody stays at home. That's just the way it is. You know, I hear people complain all the time about this kind of thing. Kind of rubs me the wrong way. People complain about, you know, we ought to be doing things differently. Shouldn't have the top three teams knocked out in the first round or the second round or whatever. They ought to have a chance to go. But it's just the way it is. You go to Birmingham in the football playoffs, okay? You take them football playoffs. You take Vestavia, Mountain Brook, Thompson, Hewitt Trussell, all those teams up there together, that Hoover, that are all so good. Some of them not even going to make the playoffs. You know, I'll go back to Bayside Academy last year. You know, there was four pretty good teams came out of our region. We were the fifth team. Now, we had beat the state champion Flomaton team a couple of weeks earlier. We'd beaten them 34-21, you know, and we didn't go to the playoffs. Now, that's our fault. You know, it's nobody's fault but our own. So you have to look at yourself when you do that. But sometimes they get like this, you know, and it's kind of touchy, but it's just the way it is. You got to play yourself in. And, you know, and even the number one seeds, mm-hmm. going into this deal, they're not having a good, you know, the number one seed just about going to get in, aren't they?
In certain classifications, they do. In the three-team areas, they're already in.
If they're in a four-team area, it's a little bit different deal. They could have a bad night and not make it. So you got to watch, you know, it's just part of the deal. You got to play yourself in, and And I think that's what makes playoffs and all sports and area tournaments, regional, sub-regional, state, all that makes it so exciting because, I mean, you can't have a bad night.
I agree. That's why I love what we call in high school the February Frenzy and March Madness in the NCAA tournament, because the great thing is with the basketball situation, all teams, no matter whether you won two games, no games, or all your games, you're going to get an opportunity to play in that area tournament. And a four can beat a one, a five seed can beat a two, so anything can happen. Wrapping up 3A Area 1, Etmobile Christian will start Tuesday. St. Michael's will play Bayside Academy. The winner will go on to play Mobile Christian. In 2A, the 2A tournament will be held at Cottage Hill. Alberta versus Chickasaw. The winner will go on to play Cottage Hill Friday. And in 1A, at St. Luke's, it starts Wednesday. St. Luke's takes on Fruitdale. Millery takes on McIntosh. The area championship will be held on Friday. We'll get over to the girls after this segment. Coming up next on the Prep Sports Report, we'll talk to McGill Tulane head basketball coach Philip Murphy and see how his Yellow Jackets are doing heading into the postseason play. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5.
Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip on the phone lines. And Coach Rick Cleveland's on assignment heading up to Samford to cover the Samford women's basketball team on ESPN Plus today, so we wish him safe travels and miss him here in the studio. A lot of high school basketball action getting ready to start up with the area tournaments. And the second hour of the Prep Sports Report at 9 o'clock a.m. we'll be joined by NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens. So you want to make sure you stick in and listen to that interview with Hall of Famer T.O., as well as at 9:30, we'll be joined by special teams coach at Troy University, Brian Blackman, talking about his new job at Troy. So we're excited to get into the second hour. But before we get into that second hour, high school basketball area tournaments in full swing this week. I know the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets wrapped up this past Thursday night. And joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is the head coach of the McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets, Philip Murphy. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Too blessed to be stressed, Coach. I tell you what, you guys finished up the regular season, and now it's win or go home time. I mean, you've played an outstanding schedule thus far and really tried to prepare your team for this postseason play. Talk to us about your overall regular season and how you feel about going into the postseason.
I think our regular season was very similar to, what we've seen over the last several years. I think we break our season down into thirds, and I thought that third season for us, we kind of put it together. We've had a great stretch of games, had a couple of losses in January like normal, but even in those losses, I thought we played well and did the things that we need to do to be successful in the playoffs. So, our goal all season is preparing for the playoffs and getting ready for this first round of the area, and now we're here staring at it, and we're going to be ready to go when Wednesday comes around.
You look at your first round area tournament. It's one of those situations, Coach. You enlightened me on how the coin toss would work, because in some areas there was a three-way tie for first place, and in some situations there was a two-way tie for first place. But, Coach, tell everybody how that coin toss situation works.
Well, if you've got a three-way tie, you actually start out with the three ties and everybody flips, and the odd man's out, and then you go to a regular called flip. If it's a two-way tie, you're just going to a single called flip, and whoever wins the area. They win the right to host and to play the four seed. I'd love to see that change. I just think that's think a coin flip is pretty silly, to be honest with you. I think we need to have some other options, or if we're going to flip a coin, let's make it a choice. Let's say you get a choice between playing the four seed or or hosting. You don't just get it all just because you won a coin toss, but that's the way it is. And you know, I've never won a coin toss, so that might be the reason I have that opinion. But we're going to head over to Fairhope and play their host, and they won the coin toss, and we'll play Foley in the first round over there on Wednesday.
That's going to be a lot of fun, Coach. But when you look at the growth of your team, I know you've had certain players that you've seen mature from the beginning of your season until now, especially when you look at where you were at this summer in June and starting to learn your team and trying to figure out how you wanted to play. I know this year at Media Days, prior to the season even beginning, you decided you wanted to switch over to a 2-3 zone, which is something that you really haven't done in the past. So tell us how that 2-3 zone concept has worked for you this season.
Well, it has been a foreign thing to me. You know, I'm a man-to-man guy, and that's what we've always done. But, you know, we looked at it after the summer, and we felt like, you know, to give ourselves the best opportunity this season, we were going to have to change things up a little bit, not just on the defensive end, but the offensive end. We're doing some different stuff too. But it's been great for us. Our kids have adapted. Our coaches have done a good job researching all the nuances of the defense and rotations and different things you can do in it. But it's been great for us with our size and our length. It does give people problems. There's holes in it just like any other D, but for us and for this team, I think it gives us the best chance to advance as far as we can.
When you're talking about survive and advance, that's one of the things about the February frenzy of high school basketball that you have to love and can take no game for granted. I know the other night you guys had senior night. Tell us about your seniors on this roster, because they've had an opportunity to experience multiple Final Fours and state championship game appearances.
Yeah, I mean, these guys' record over the course of 4 years. Now, of course, all these guys have not been on the varsity for 4 years, but they've been a part of it. And that record in the last 4 years is 100 victories and 28 losses. They've been a part of the 2016 state championship team. They were semifinalists in 2017, and they were state runner-up in 2018. So these guys are spoiled. They don't understand what it feels like to have a difficult season, and you know, they just expect to win, and they kind of play with that chip on their shoulder. And you know, these guys have put in a lot of work. They're great kids, and they understand what we want and how we want it done and how hard we want it done. And they've done a great job of leading this group, and some younger guys too that haven't necessarily been there. And I think they're ready to get these playoffs started. I think we've just kind of been waiting, especially over these last two games on senior night and at Faith the other night, knowing that we have the do or die game coming on Wednesday. I think guys are kind of, their wheels are just turning, waiting on this game coming Wednesday.
We're speaking with Philip Murphy, the head boys basketball coach at McGill Tooling, preparing his team for the area tournament that will be held at Fairhope. That's the 7A Area 2 tournament. It will be Foley versus McGill, followed by Fairhope and Murphy, with that area championship game being on Friday as well.
Hey, Coach, after you finish this, after the tournament, this tournament ends, what happens next? Where do y'all go? Where does the tournament take you on the next round?
Okay, well, since we're 7A, we don't have a sub-regional game like 6A through 1A does, but if you win that first round, you automatically advance to the regional and at Alabama State Montgomery. Gotcha. The regional got moved from Dothan to Alabama State, which we're all excited about. It's obviously easier to get to, and it's a basketball venue, so we're excited about that. But yeah, you win that first round game, and then you play the area championship game to determine seeding in that cross matchup with the five team area in Mobile of Davidson, Bryant, MGM, Baker, and Theodore.
And that's played in Montgomery. That
yes, sir.
Okay, I
yep.
Got you. Well, sometimes those things get confusing, and I want to make people understand where the travels may take y'all in the next couple of weeks, you know, provided that y'all take care of business. You know, I know you, Coach. I know you're going to take one game at a time. I don't mean to be stepping too far out. I just wanted to let our folks know where y'all might be going.
No, absolutely. No, you're exactly right. We're taking one game at a time. We're not going to overlook anything. But, yeah, any of our 7A teams will be headed to Montgomery for that regional site.
Coach, you talk about the parity in 7A basketball. You look at Theodore being able to defeat you guys, and then you turn around and you look at Baker playing well, beating Theodore at times. I think that that's the thing that's great for high school basketball is now if you're in the win-or-go-home situation, the parity to where on any given night, anybody can beat anyone anyway.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's been that way for years. I mean, I think this time last year I was on the radio saying the same thing. I mean, MGM, Baker, Theodore, Fairhope, us. I mean, you can throw those teams in a hat, and anybody can get anybody on any night. I think what separates anybody at this point is preparation. You know, what can you tweak and change at this point, and is there any advantage you can get from extra time and preparation or game planning? And I think that's what's going to separate people down the stretch. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We've got some great coaches and great teams around. And I'm going to say it again. If Philip Roebling getting the Coach of the Year, something's wrong. That guy, he does a fantastic job, and he has done an unbelievable job with his team this year.
Coach, just want to thank you, as always, for joining us on the Prep Sports Report every other Saturday morning and just enlightening not only myself but the listening audience to what's going on with McGill-Tulane basketball and basketball in general, not only across the state of Alabama but here locally also.
Well, thank you guys for having us on, and we look forward to talking to you again, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Look forward to hearing from the Yellow Jackets here in the upcoming weeks. Want to talk about the 7A girls tournaments, 7A through 1A also. The 7A Area 1 girls tournament starts at Davidson. On Monday, you have MGM playing Bryant, and that winner will play Davidson on Wednesday. Theodore versus Baker in a win-or-go-home game on Wednesday also in that 7A Area 1 tournament. In Area 2, the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets, Lady Yellow Jackets, will take on Fairhope, Murphy versus Foley, and then you look at 6A Area 1. That Area 1 tournament will start at Blount on Tuesday. The 6A Area 2 girls tournament will start Wednesday at Gulf Shores. The 5A Area 1 tournament will be hosted by Faith Academy, and on Monday night, Satsuma will be taking on LaFleur. The winner will then play Faith Academy. 1A girls, St. Luke's versus Fruitdale on Wednesday, Millry versus McIntosh. In 2A girls, Chickasaw will take on Cottage Hill, with the winner playing Alberta. Alberta will be hosting that 2A Area 1 tournament. And in 3A Area 1, it will be hosted at Bayside Academy. Mobile Christians girls will be taking on St. Michael, and the winner will play Bayside Academy. So that's a rundown of your 1A through 7A boys and girls area tournaments. A couple of other things in regards to high school basketball. The judge ordered another hearing date in the Maury Davenport case, so it's been pushed back again. So you can look for some implications down the line, a decision to be made. I personally think it's going to be made prior to or post-basketball season, after the season's already concluded. So we'll keep an eye on how that's going to go ahead and go. And just great high school basketball. I encourage everyone to go out and support your high school basketball teams this coming week in the area tournament, because spring sports are knocking on the door. You see the spring sports participating outside now, but to finish up these winter sports, go and support high school athletics along the Gulf Coast, Mobile, Baldwin County, or wherever you're listening. We just want to thank the Lake for listening to us, 105.1, and WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga, listening each and every week on those stations. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment, heading up to Birmingham to cover Samford women's basketball on ESPN Plus today. So we want to wish the big guy safe travels. Mark Lassiter holding it down as always. Dalton on the board. Phillip on the phone lines. You can reach us at 251-343-0106. And that's on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication line. And this coming Wednesday is National Signing Day across the entire country. United States of America, to where young men will be making decisions for the next years to come. And even though it is a year-to-year scholarship offer, a lot of questions about some of the local signees here. Where will Christian Williams wind up? Where will Adarius Cox wind up? But I tell you what, where we're going to wind up at 9 o'clock is speaking with NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens will be joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. So go ahead, Dalton, tell everybody how they can tune in if they happen to be stepping out of their cars.
Yeah, if you need to listen to us on an app, if you don't have an FM radio handy, you can listen to us on TuneIn Radio. Just search FM Talk 106.5. It's a free app. You can get it from iTunes or the Google Play Store for free. Download it. Search FM Talk 106.5. You'll see the logo of the station there. Click on that, and I think they have a little 30-second ad, but listen past that, and then you'll be listening to us for free, and you can hear the Terrell Owens interview there, along with Brian Blackman, who we're interviewing at 9:30, who's now at Troy University. But also, if you happen to miss part of the interview or the entire interview, we do podcast the show following every single Prep Sports Report, and you can get the podcast now. Go ahead and subscribe. We are on the FM Talk 106.5 podcast page at fmtalk1065.com, now on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. They actually have a podcast section on TuneIn, so not only can you listen to us live there, but you can get the podcast there as well. And if you have any questions for Terrell Owens, we won't be able to take any calls during those two segments, but if you want to text in a question, we might be able to get that across to him. And the number there is the same number as the call-in number, 251-343-0106.
Real excited about having Terrell on here in a few minutes and looking forward to talking to him, and we'll spend some time with him. We'll talk a little bit about his recruitment. It was kind of a bizarre thing how that happened, and he can tell you more about that. But recruiting right now is a big, big deal. You know, kids making decisions that will affect the rest of their life, you know, as far as their athletic career and their academic career, where they're going to go, what they're going to study. And so a lot of things coming up. You know, we hear all these things about, and I'm as bad as anybody, wanting to know who these people are getting and trying to who's going to win the national recruiting war and yada, yada, yada. But when it comes right down to it, that young man who's being recruited, you know, to go, he's going to get an education. You know, they're going to go, and hopefully that's what they're there. I know they're there to play football. I get that. But hopefully the football's years can end in a moment. It can end in a moment. You know, it can last for a long time. You know, we saw what Julius Peppers just retired the other day from 17 years.
What
in
a career.
NFL. What a career that guy's had. You know, you see guys who, but most football players don't last that long. And they got to have something else. Hopefully they have an education that'll carry them through life, have a degree that they can take them somewhere in their life.
And, you know, the early signing period has really taken out a lot of the fireworks that we've normally seen in February.
Yeah,
a lot of the fireworks come earlier in the year, but there are still some dramatic, you know, flips here at the end of the year. And we've seen quite a few in our state because Ladarius Cox from right down here in Mobile, he's been committed to the Vols, to Tennessee, since I think last March or last April, something like that. And now it's looking like he might not be headed to Tennessee, but instead Auburn. I think Ole Miss is on the radar also. And then a top receiver from up there from Hoover, George Pickens.
Yeah.
Who's been committed to Auburn for a while. Now they're saying it might be a two-horse race between Tennessee
and
Georgia.
Did he decommit?
He has not.
He did not decommit, did he?
He's just made a decision to where it's going to be national signing day when he decides. I mean, everybody thought with him and Bo Nix that he was leaning right, a heavy lean toward Auburn. So look forward to actually
seeing what
happens.
Well, I tell you
what,
he is a great player. Man, he's got
hands down.
He's got some skills now that, I mean, really nice. And so does Bo Nix. You know, great job by Auburn on him because he's a great player.
You look at Jackson Olin linebacker Quindarius Robinson this past week. He had been committed to Auburn, so now he decommits, and maybe he flips to Alabama. And Christian Williams had been committed verbally to the University of Alabama. You want to see if he flips over to LSU possibly, so that's going to be another interesting dimension. And you look at right here while we're talking recruiting, McGill Tulane on their schedule next year are going to face a formidable foe. We all know about IMG Academy being a national powerhouse, but how about John Curtis out of Louisiana? Now McGill Tulane's going to step up on the national map and play John Curtis on September 5th in Shreveport. The Yellow Jackets went over last year to Shreveport and played a very important game and lost a heartbreaking situation. But if you can get a nationally ranked opponent on your schedule, I think it brings visibility not only to your program, but the young men who are being recruited from your team when you can match them up against other 3-, 4-, and 5-star athletes across the field from them.
Absolutely. John Curtis has got one of the best programs in the United States, have been a perennial power in Louisiana for years and years, and they're not going away anytime soon. That program has one of those programs that did a great job years ago building it from the ground up, built a foundation, and have just they just keep running them through. I mean, they have a great it's a great school as well. I mean, it's not just a football factory. It's a great school. Lots of kids coming out of there with great academic awards, but it is also a very, very, very good football program, and that's going to be a big game, and I'd like to watch that one. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Not only football, we have today and yesterday, day one and day two of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Indoor Track Championships that are being held in Birmingham, and you look at right now through the day one standings, Hoover is leading the 7A boys and girls competition. In Class 6A, Homewood is leading both boys and girls. In 4A and 5A, Scottsboro is leading over Trinity. And then you look in the girls' situation, tied for third place, Gunnersville and Arab. Also in 1A through 3A, Bayside Academy holds a 1-point margin over Altamont. So there's a lot of great action going on at the Crossplex facility in Birmingham, Alabama, in regards to the Indoor Track and Field Championship. So again, your winter sports coming to a conclusion, your spring sports right around the corner. I know baseball, you hear those bats swinging and those gloves catching those fly balls in both baseball and softball. You see soccer practice going on. Golf is not too far behind. Tennis is right around the corner as well, so your spring sports are coming up. So it's very important that you go out and support these local high school athletes, and the weather's getting ready to be a lot warmer. Mm-hmm. So for your spring sports, you definitely want to go ahead and step in, Dalt.
Yeah, for sure. And it never stops with high school sports. It's always going on. Lots of athletes out there preparing for whatever next season might be coming up. And hey, we're preparing to talk to Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame,
T.O.
All-Star, led the league in touchdowns for, I think, 3-4 years in his career. It should be awesome to talk to him going into tomorrow's Super Bowl. And after that, 9:30, we're talking with Brian Blackman, Troy University, now the special teams and running backs coach. Can't wait, Corey.
Second hour of the Prep Sports Report is one you don't want to miss right here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. Come right back for hour number two.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Corey LaBounty sitting in for Rick Cleveland, who's covering Samford men's basketball today in Birmingham on ESPN. He wanted to make sure I got that correct. So, big guy, that's for you. I hope you have a great travel and a great call today on ESPN for the Samford men's basketball game. And
as a side note, how awesome is ESPN Plus?
Oh, I absolutely love it.
All these years where, you know, all you got is ESPN, ESPN2, and Classic, and now with ESPN Plus, I love it because every South Alabama game is on there. You could find a game from any college in the entire nation, and so cool that Rick Cleveland's up there calling games for Samford.
Okay, I'm lost. What is ESPN Plus?
It is the streaming app for ESPN, and they have pretty much every single game that they don't air on the national network. So you can watch any Samford game, South Alabama game, so on and so on. And Rick Cleveland up there calling for Samford.
I got you.
Should be pretty cool.
I got you.
Hey, looks like we have Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens on the line. Coach Mark Lester, Corey LaBounty, and myself, Dalton Org, here for Prep Sports Report. T.O., how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing, big guy?
I'm doing fine, Coach.
Man, it's good to hear your voice. I just want you to know how much I appreciated the invite to your Hall of Fame induction, and it was a great trip. It was great to see you and Derek and all the guys and Chubb, and then to get to spend some time with Willie Carl Martin. I hadn't seen him in forever either. It was really nice.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was just me really just showing appreciation, you know, for a lot of guys that actually helped me get really kind of start my path and journey to you know, to Canton, and you know,
yep.
I know for a lot of people it wasn't in the actual place of Canton, but you know, for the circumstances in which I didn't get in the first couple of years, you know, obviously I elected to do it there.
Sure.
At UT Chattanooga, but you know, that's what it's all about, is just really just recognizing the people that help you you know, get to where you are. And I've had a lot of success, and definitely I would have never, you know, not invited, you know, the people that really helped me, especially, you know, for me, and a lot of people don't know this, but never thought I would play, you know, beyond the collegiate level. So, you know, a lot of people don't know my story, that I barely played in high school. Mm-hmm. And the time that I did play, you know, I took full advantage of the opportunity that were given to me. It wasn't many, but I'm sure you and Coach Sav, y'all have a lot of stories of me, you know, nagging you guys to get in the game. Especially late in the year, it was cold standing on that sideline.
Yeah, it was.
T.O., when you look at your high school career at Benjamin Russell, what are the memories that stick right out at you that you can go back and dwell on with Coach Lassiter and Coach Sav and having an opportunity to be in Alexander City?
Just a, you know, me being a skinny, scrawny kid, and you know, I played pretty much, you know, every sport that I could. You know, I played obviously football, but I played basketball, I ran track, and I played baseball when I didn't run track, vice versa. And you know, again, it was just a normal teenager, you know, that loved sports and just played when I could. And you know, I didn't have all the talent and skill set to, you know, to crack the starting lineup, but that didn't deter me from, you know, from really, you know, going out every year and competing. And I think, you know, anybody that, you know, that followed my career, or you know, I'm hoping, and I know it has, you know, it could be of some inspiration to a lot of kids, because, you know, now where I am, and I look back on my career, and I reflect not only just on my high school career, but my college and my pro career, I know that there's a lot of TOs and a lot of Terrells. Well, I'll just say this, there's a lot of Terrells, because there wasn't any TO back then, but there's a lot of Terrells, you know, across the country, you know, that don't know really kind of where their path may lead them, or where a sport may lead them, but I just kept plugging away.
You know, I remember, Terrell, I remember when you were in, I think it was a sophomore. And, you know, and I look back on it, too. You know, we look back on all these things as coaches and wonder, how did we miss that one, you know? Because we probably should have played you a lot sooner than then, you know? And, you know, I look back on it and I go, man, that was a mistake on our part. That young man should have been playing before then. But I also remember, I think there was one time you'd kind of gotten frustrated because you weren't playing very much, and you thought about not playing football anymore and just concentrating on basketball. You remember that?
Right, yeah, you're absolutely right. As I said earlier, alluded to, like, it was cold standing on those sides.
Yes, sir.
Late in the season, and you don't get a lot of playing time. And you know, I always, you know, I think any teenager, you always kind of try to, you know, sometimes assess your talent more so than the coaches. You feel like you should be playing more so than you are. And you know, I just got tired of seeing my peers play every Friday night. Mm-hmm. I remember riding the bus, you know, riding down the hill, approaching the stadiums on Friday night, and you know, as soon as we go down that hill, you know, I started to smell the hamburgers, the popcorn, the sodas, you know, and I wanted to play.
Right.
So you you put in that work throughout the course of the week, and you know, and now I get it, because I have a son now that pretty much is, you know, kind of identical, you know, with me as far as talent, just, you know, probably a late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you guys assess me based on, you know, the guys that were there, and I'm a realist, and I tell kids now, even when I speak to a lot of kids across the country, I realize that I wasn't as good as those guys. And so, but at the same time, you just got to keep plugging away. You never know what may happen. You always have to be ready. You have to be ready when your number is called, and that's essentially what happened to me. I remember the Friday night when Ricky Morgan was starting. The starting split in had gotten sick that Friday at school, and he couldn't play that Friday night. And I remember you, Coach Lassiter, you was the one that walked in that locker room before we went to the stadium, and you came in and you sat next to me, and you told me, like, you know, you go play, play like you practice. And you told me, like, you were going to, I didn't know how prophetic that night was going to turn out and those words were going to be, but you basically told me, like, you're going to score a touchdown tonight. And you said, just go out there and just play, you know, play like you practice, and everything else will take care of itself. And sure enough, you know, I end up scoring that night. And, you know, again, just taking advantage of the opportunity and just being ready when my number was called.
You sure were. 591 comeback. I believe that was a play.
Oh, man.
That was a play.
T.O., you clearly have a love for the game of basketball, and that's as evidenced in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game we've seen you in a few times, where I think you won MVP at least one of those years. But how has your love of the game of basketball, how did that help you with your career as a wide receiver, whether it's body positioning, a boxing out? How much did you overlap your skill sets for the two games?
Just some of those characteristics that you meant of playing basketball. I mean, when you're playing receiver, essentially you're playing one-on-one with a guy. You talk about, obviously, you know, boxing out. You talk about hand-eye coordination, just your change of direction, your lateral movements, things of that nature. Just kept myself very, you know, agile. And so, just, you know, just to understand, really late on in my career when I got in the pros, how basketball helped me, because just as you alluded to, my receiver coach, Larry Kirksey, who was there at my Hall of Fame induction, he was the one that really, he basically, the light bulb clicked one day when I was struggling, because I was, you know, obviously I went to UT Chattanooga, wasn't really faced with a lot of the top talent, you know, as the other Division I schools, and I struggled with bump and run, press coverage. And so, you know, I was obviously, you know, a physical specimen. You know, my physical stature, I kind of got away with kind of just bullying my way through guys. And he basically just said, you know, in order to get better and be like Jerry Rice, you're going to have to learn, you know, to get off the bump and run. And he pulled me to the side and he said, you know, he's like, don't I remember that you love basketball? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to treat that defensive back like a basketball player, like you're playing one-on-one. And when he said that, you know, and I thought that was a great analogy, when he said that, you know, the light bulb clicked on me. And so I really had to start, you know, really just using my quickness and tried to finesse guys instead of just using full, you know, just physical strength, you know, just to get through guys, because, you know, in the West Coast offense is based on precision and timing. And so, you know, if you get hung up at the line, you know, guys like Steve Young, and you got J.J. Stokes and Jerry Rice and Brent Jones out there with the ball, getting the ball thrown to them, if you're not off the line of scrimmage in that half a second, 1 second when that ball is snapped, you know, Steve is going on to his other progressions to 2-3 and whatever. So those are some of the things that helped me. Little coaching tips like that, like play like you're playing one-on-one with the guy, and I basically treated the end zone like it was the basket. And so that helped me get into my routes, and I constantly and consistently worked on that every day. Worked on you know, my hands, you know, to get defensive back hands off me, getting into the route, you know, transitioning in and out of cuts. Those are some of the things that I had to get better at with, because I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't that good. I was really raw and green. I had all the physical attributes as a receiver as it related to my measurables. When you talk about height and arm length and wingspan and things of that nature, but speed is something that I lacked and that I increasingly and got better with, you know, throughout the course of my career. It's funny that I was faster, you know, at probably 35, 38 through 38 than I was at 25.
Terrell Owens, our guest this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Terrell, we're going to go to a hard break, and we'll come right back. Want to talk to you about your time at UTC, the Senior Bowl that just concluded here last week in Mobile, your time down here at the Senior Bowl, and your NFL and Hall of Fame career that you just got the gold jacket for last year. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to T.O. on the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, and joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, known as T.O., and in the last segment he was talking to us about his high school career and moving on to UT Chattanooga and playing multiple sports and how those multiple sports helped him progress as an athlete. And T.O., the Senior Bowl was last week. Talk to us about your time coming down here in Mobile, Alabama, and how it propelled you to the NFL and playing with NFL Hall of Famer and your idol, Jerry Rice, with the San Francisco 49ers.
I just, you know, used it as an opportunity to kind of just, you know, show the scouts that, you know, kind of up close, you know, that's they use those games obviously to evaluate, you know, the talent that's out there. And for me, it was very, very helpful, because I think my stock rose in front of a lot of those scouts, the eyes. I used that week, obviously, to learn, and I got a chance to kind of self-evaluate myself against other guys. I remember being there and practicing with guys like, you know, Bobby Engram, who played at Penn State, and, you know, Amani Toomer, Mercury Hayes, and some of the defensive guys that played at North Carolina. Like, and I saw, you know, it helped my and boosted my self-esteem. Because once I saw them, I thought, you know, just because they played at those Division I schools, you know, Michigan, who a stadium that holds 100+ thousand people, and I saw those guys, I thought those guys were like just, you know, just over the charts, just like way better than I, head over heels, well, way better than I was, and I was like, and I saw them run routes, and I'm like, man, these guys are really not that much better than I am, and so. Just listening to all of my coaches, and I think, you know, Coach Lassiter, just, you know, obviously I'm sure you've probably heard a lot of stories, but I was a very coachable, you know, kid. And so, again, at the same time, I don't know what it was about me, but I was a realist as it related to me really kind of evaluating my talents versus, you know, my peers and people around me. It wasn't that I downed myself, you know, and I was insecure, but I knew that I wasn't as fast as a lot of guys, wasn't as tall as a lot of guys, wasn't as strong as a lot of guys. But, you know, I just kept plugging away, and, you know, I used that moment to go to, you know, down there in Mobile, to Senior Bowl, to really show the scouts and let them see me in person. You know, because it's one thing to see a guy on film, but I mean, you evaluate, especially you're evaluating, and they're, you know, they're going to be paying you lots of money. You know, to come in and really play and represent an organization. So I just felt like that was an opportunity for me to really showcase my skill set. And, you know, after being there that week, you know, there were articles that I had read that you know, from, you know, I listened to a lot of scouts that said that my stock rose in the Senior Bowl, you know, because, you know, I didn't get to play a lot. I remember my stats from the game. I caught a slant one catch for 4 yards, and that was it. And so obviously you want to put on a great display and have a great game, you know, but, you know, obviously me being UT Chattanooga and I wasn't on the radar, I went on everybody's top of their charts, I didn't really get a lot of playing time. But again, I took advantage of the opportunity. I had one ball that was thrown to me. I caught it. And like I said, the practice is where they evaluate those guys and those kids. And so obviously you want to go out and play a great game if you're fortunate enough to. But the practice is where the evaluation really happens.
And that, of course, T.O., led to you being drafted by just an amazing team, the San Francisco 49ers, and getting to play next to your idol, Jerry Rice, and Steve Young throwing the ball out there. But early in your career, I think your second season, Jerry Rice goes out for the season early, tears his ACL, and then all of a sudden the Niners needed a new number one, and you became that guy. I'm wondering, did Jerry Rice say anything to you that season, and how much confidence did you gain from that year where you really put up some great numbers?
I didn't really know much about Jerry Rice till like my junior year in college. And so, I'm sure a lot of people can tell you my grandmother was very, very strict. I didn't really get to watch a lot of football other than, you know, probably just, you know, college football. And that was, you know, every year, you know, we had rivalry week where, you know, everybody, you know, chose where there was, you rooted for either the Auburn Tigers or the Alabama Crimson Tide, you know, there at Benjamin Russell. And so that was the most exposure really I had to any football outside of high school. And so when I got to college, you know, I was fortunate just to be recruited to UT Chattanooga, because, you know, little did anybody know is that Derek Hall and Ricky Morgan, they were the star receivers on our team, you know, and so I played behind those guys. And, you know, the guy that came down and, you know, after our senior year that came down and watched film, his name was Bobby Johns. He was, I think, the linebackers coach at UT Chattanooga. And so he was recruiting in that area. And his story to me and others was that he was down there to recruit Derek Hall, and that he was watching film and he saw me make a few plays, you know, here and there. And so he asked Coach Sal about, you know, the kid that wore number 80. And so, you know, I got to Chattanooga basically sort of like on a package deal. And so I just, again, my story is really just taking full advantage of an opportunity, and that's what I did.
You know, buddy, that's exactly right. And your story is, if you go through it, and I, you know, I've had the honor of watching you through all these years, it's been a story of a guy who never quits, never gave up, never laid down, even when the chips were down, when things weren't, you know, going the way you wanted it. You just kept persevering. And you said something a moment ago that really made me realize, you know, just how hard you did work, that you were faster in your older age than you were when you were younger. Because of the work you put in, because now the physical specimen you became and still are. But that, is to me, is what propelled you to the height of football, by being into the NFL Hall of Fame, by doing those things that took the work it took to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's really kind of my message, and especially to a lot of kids, is, you know, we're in an era now where, you know, kids, they want instant success, they want things yesterday, and so a lot of kids sometimes they feel entitled, maybe because of their economic status or what have you. But it doesn't work that way. A lot of these kids, they watch, you know, the LeBrons, the Kobes, you know, the T.O.s, the Randy Mosses, the Tom Brady's, the Steph Curry's, you know, especially in basketball. You know, we as athletes, especially at the professional levels, we make it look so easy that kids just feel like they don't have to put in the hard work, you know, to reach a level of success. And so, you know, really my message, you know, and really kind of what I've done and reflecting back on my career, I've come up with something that when I speak to, I've even spoke to trading stock companies, I've spoke to high schools, I even use this when I'm talking to people that have asked me, how did I get to my level of success? And I talk about my three D's, and that's desire, dedication, and discipline. you know, everybody has a desire to be or do something in life, but some people like myself, when I was in high school, you really don't know the path or the blueprint, you know, to get to a certain level of success. So I've used my career and where I've gone and my success, you know, to couple my desire with my dedication and my discipline. In order to achieve something, you got to be able to sacrifice something in order to get where you want to be. And that's what I did. I dedicated myself, you know, by working hard in high school. You know, we worked double days. Sometimes I lifted twice.
Right.
I lifted when nobody was watching. There were times during the high school year where during my enrichment period, I would get a hall pass and go down to the weight room and lift while everybody was still in class or, you know, probably doing something, you know, some fun activity. The same thing in college. During the summertime when I couldn't go home, I didn't have the means to go up and back and forth to down the road from Chattanooga to Alexander City, I stayed on there on campus. I asked the coach to give me the key to the weight room. That's where I went to the weight room, and I lifted, and I got stronger because I was the only one in there, so I had to spot myself on everything that I did. There were sometimes in that weight room, I got myself stuck under the bar, but you know, I got from under there. But you know, I got stronger having to lift it off myself, really pushing myself to the limit, you know, squatting, doing all types of things. And so these are things that I did during the summertime to help better myself as an athlete. Because like I said, I knew that I wasn't as good as or great as the guys that were around me. So when you talk about the discipline aspect of it, that's that sacrifice. You're doing, you know, 99% of things that guys don't do. So when I got into the pros, again, there were times where I wasn't a bench drinker anyway, but once I found a trainer after my third year in the league, he taught me about nutrition. He taught me about taking care of my body, understanding that alcohol was not going to be beneficial when I was trying to be the best athlete that I could be. It wasn't that I was trying to be the next Jerry Rice, even though he had set the bar. He was motivation, he was inspiration for me to be who I was and what I was trying to accomplish as a receiver. But I knew that those things weren't going to be beneficial because, again, I had something to prove, as you know, to myself by being the best athlete that I could be. And during that whole entire process, I became T.O., just like everybody saw how everybody saw who Jerry Rice was, and everybody saw how Randy became who he was. Now people put me in those same conversations as one of the greatest receivers to ever play the game because of my desire, my dedication, and my discipline, coaches.
There you go, buddy.
Just want to thank you, Terrell, superstar T.O. Owens, NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Owens, joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Just want to thank you so much for taking time with us here and Coach Laster going down memory lane. Just thank you for that time.
Man, it's not a problem. It's one of those things, like I said, I think it's something that people need to hear. There are so many misconceptions about who I am as a person. Part of why I did my Hall of Fame induction in Chattanooga is because people have questioned my character very unfairly. And so I wanted to really do something because I know I rightfully earned, you know, to be in the Hall of Fame the first go around based on my statistics and the criteria in which guys, those writers of the Hall of Fame should have done the first time.
Right.
And so I just kind of took matters into my own hand. I wanted to control the narrative about who I was. And as a lot of guys have said after I finally got in, is that when you talk about questioning someone's character, especially when it came to me, you never have heard anything any athlete, any of my players have come out and said one negative thing about me.
Nope.
Just because there was a couple of whisper pods, you know, with coaches or a few players that may not have liked me or there was some tension or may have had some type of disagreement on argument, that doesn't make me a bad person. Everybody goes through those things. It happens in everyday relationships, whether you're married or not. Those are some of the things that make sometimes marriages and relationships the best there is because of some of those things that you go through. And so again, that's kind of what happened to me. And I don't sit here on this phone call thinking or
saying that I was perfect by any means. I've made a lot of mistakes and I've made a lot of poor choices. But as it related to my character, I want to defend that to the nth degree, because I really felt like the media or the writers have done me really some injustice as it related to that. But other than that, you know, I appreciate the coaches that have helped me get to where I am. Very, you know, proud of my career, especially coming out of small town in Alexander City, going to a small school, university there, UT Chattanooga. And then, you know, look where I landed. I landed in Canton with a gold jacket.
That's right, buddy. T.O., thanks, pal. It's great talking to you. I love you. You know that. And I hope to see you soon, buddy. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
Terrell Owens right here on the Prep Sports Report on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back with Brian Blackman.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. And joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is new assistant coach for the Troy Trojans, Brian Blackman, and he's tied in to high school sports here in the state of Alabama deeper than most coaches are. He was the head coach at Opelika High School and played under the legendary, coach under the legendary Spence McCracken. And I know, Coach Lasseter, you have a lot of things that you would like to talk to Coach Blackman about, and I have some questions for him later on as well.
Morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you guys this morning?
Man, doing great. It's good to be able to talk to you. And, man, I saw Brian at a clinic. Was it last summer? I hadn't seen him for quite a while. He just walked up and gave me a big old bear hug. It sure was good to see you, Val. And,
yeah, and, it was good to see you, too.
And
it's been a long time. It's up to that point, I think. And really glad to see you. And I always enjoy running into old high school coaching buddies of mine.
That's right. We want to talk to you now. This is your second year at Troy. And Coach Lindsey's come in and made a few adjustments. Tell us a little bit about the changes you've got in your coaching career at Troy now, coming up this year.
Well, last year with Coach Brown, when I came on, I coached the tight ends and inside receivers and what we call the S-back, which is the fullback position in our offense. And then when Coach Lindsey came in, he asked me to move to running backs and be the special teams coordinator. So a little different role, something that I'm really looking forward to, you know, a new challenge for me, learning another part of the game and really diving in and studying some new things and what's going on. And it's we're fortunate because we were really good in special teams under Coach Brown last year, so mm-hmm. I'm excited about trying to just build on that.
Yeah, Coach, congratulations on that. And I wanted to – now, I've already told our listeners we can't talk with you about kids y'all are recruiting presently.
Right.
But I do want to say, how did it go on the early signing day in December? I know y'all had some kids go ahead and sign.
We did. We signed 18 kids at the December signing day period. Guys from, you know, the majority of our class are kids around the state of Alabama. We typically do well in Alabama and Georgia and Florida. We recruit Florida usually just to about Orlando. We try to stay within about a five-hour radius of Troy. But our priority has always been and will continue to be high school kids in the state of Alabama.
I got you, Coach. What's some things now? Coach Lindsey's come in. I know that changeover is always is difficult. You know, as a new coach comes in, the coach has been very successful in Coach Brown, and just and you know how I feel about Coach, and great guy, and I'm so proud for him. But leaving and going somewhere else, and then a new guy coming in, and a guy you know quite well, Coach Lindsey, how has the transition been?
Well, it's been really good, and you know, I think Coach Lindsey and Coach Brown have similar backgrounds. Both of them are philosophically aligned in terms of how they want to call a game offensively and the schematics of the game, you know, and so and Coach Lindsey has made it very, very clear that he's taken over a program that has been very, very successful. We've won 31 games in the last 3 years, 3 bowl wins, and 1 conference championship. And so he's not trying to rebuild a program. He's trying to take a program and just continue the success and build upon it and kind of put his own stamp on it. So I think it's been really good. There are 4 guys on our staff that were here last year with Coach Brown.
two on each side of the ball, two on offense, two on defense. So there's some similarity there, some familiarity with the kids. And and Coach Lindsey's come in and he's dug in, and he started off, made sure that he went to all of the visit with all the December signees that that aren't already on campus. We had several mid-year guys, but the ones that are still in high school, we took him around and he met those guys, did home visits, met their parents, made sure that they understood that they were a priority to us. And so I think he did those things the right way, and then hit the ground running recruiting. We only have four spots to sign in February, so we feel really good about where we are as a class and really where we're headed. We really haven't had a whole lot of time, Mark, to sit down as coaches and spend time on the schematics of the game because of the time period that the change took place. It's been a focus on recruiting and for the new guys getting to know the players that are already here.
We're speaking with Bryant Blackman, assistant coach at Troy University. He's coaching special teams and running backs. And, you know this name very familiar. He is the brother of Ben Blackman, who's the head coach at Spanish Ford High School. And, Coach, I have a couple of questions for you. I know that in your tenure at Opelika, you were the head coach there from 09 through 16, had state championship appearances in 12 and 16. But when you had to face your brother, across the field on those Spanish Ford sidelines, I know little brother wasn't too kind to you. Tell me a little bit about how those brotherly battles were and how you guys prepared to play one another opposite sidelines.
Well, you know, I love my brother. I think he's a heck of a football coach. So when we play each other, it's just our team against his team. It's no different than it was when it was the two of us in the backyard playing basketball or football or anything else growing up. And Ben does a tremendous job down there, and honestly, is one of my least favorite, you know, things to do was to play against him, because I enjoy pulling for him and seeing the success that he's had down there. It's been really good. Yeah, you made the comment that it wasn't too kind to me. I would say that was true in 2015, but maybe we weren't too kind in 2016. he's done a tremendous job at Spanish Ford, and will continue to do. And Ben's a community guy. He's going to embed himself in that community. He is going to he's going to get to know those kids from kindergarten all the way up, and he's hired some really good coaches, surrounds himself with good people. He's going to build and continue to build on the success that they've had there at Spanish Ford. So, but in terms of the two of us playing each other, I'm really glad I got to move on so we don't have to do that. It's a little nerve-wracking for my mom and dad.
I bet it is, pal. Listen, Brian, we appreciate – I know you got a junior day today. Is that right?
We do. We're trying to get our hands early on some of the 2020 kids, the guys that are be the next class of kids here, and so that's part of the recruiting process and the recruiting cycle, and we're excited about having some of those guys on campus.
Well, that's great, buddy, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and wish you the very best, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me on.
Hi, buddy.
That's Bryant Blackman, assistant coach at Troy, now coaching the running backs and special teams. He's a graduate of Troy, so you know that place means a lot to him. He served as president of the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association, was on the Hall of Fame reclassification and all-star committees, so he's definitely paid his dues and knows what it means to be an assistant coach, being under legendary Spence McCracken before taking the head coaching job at Opelika. Moving on to Auburn as an analyst, and now he's on the staff at Troy, so we wish him the best, especially with the ties he has here to the Gulf Coast. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines. Don't go anywhere.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment in Birmingham covering the Samford Bulldogs. And Mark Lasseter, Dalton Norwig, and Philip on the phone lines. And joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication line is none other than David. How's it going this morning, David?
Doing great, guys. How's everybody doing?
Doing fantastic, brother. What you got going today?
First of all, the catch Terrell made against the Packers over the shoulder at the goal line, probably one of the greatest catches in NFL history to win a game.
It was a great one.
Yes, it was.
That was a great one. Yep.
So it's tax season. And we've got we've been staying busy, moving a couple cars every day. So we are the place to go, guaranteed approval. And I've got a wide selection of cars still from $4,000, $30,000, and everything in between.
And where are you located?
We are in Crichton, right at the split with Spring Hill and Moffitt, 3150 Moffitt Road. You can get us at cncfinancialandautosales.com or just call us. That's the easiest way, 251-338-9019. Had a young lady call us yesterday, did everything over the phone, was out the door in 20 minutes when she showed up.
So there you go.
That's what you want.
That's what you want, brother.
That's it, in and out.
Thank you, David.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too, pal. Appreciate you.
And now it's time for the Camp Grace segment. Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rappahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, this week has been a troubling week in many ways. You know, in my own family, I have an aunt who's very, very sick, very close to me and our family, and she's just real, real sick. I talked to my cousin the other day, and Jeff was talking about how sick she was. She almost didn't make it. She barely came through, and looks like she's going to have to, you know, not be able to live, may not be able to live by herself any longer. And so that was one thing. Then I heard some more stuff about some friend of mine who's got cancer that's just really, really bad. And it's really bad. And then we have two good friends, you know, that pass away this week, and Emmanuel Bell and Willie Crabtree. And these two men are just, you know, you think about them and things that they've done. And all this week, I've just kind of been hitting on me a lot of things about losing, possibility of losing someone, and losing friends and family and things of that nature. And I look at that, and I look back to my own case, is what happened a little year ago, and I use that a lot, folks, because it's a big deal to me, and it's changed my life. And I remember that, and I remember what would have happened afterwards, you know? And one thing that keeps, I've talked to many people about this, and I keep hearing these things. When people that are friends of ours pass away, whether too young, you know, or they're at the end of their age group, you know, they're way on up their way, have lived a great life, no matter what it is, when it happens, the thing that I want to be able to do is celebrate the memories and the times I had here with them. It's easy, and it's going to be it's part of grieving to accept their death and say, man, I'm going to miss them, because that's what happens. You miss them. You miss these folks, you know. And the hardest part is dealing with life afterwards, and to be able to try to transition from what you lost into what you had and celebrate that is very difficult. I don't think God ever wills for somebody to die. I don't believe that. I believe people just die. Dying is a part of life. And I don't think God wants to make anything on anybody too difficult. I don't think that's part. I think it's just part of life. And how you handle those things is kind of what makes things difficult for us. I was reading something the other day, and I wanted to share it with you about something that might, it helps me. I don't know if it'd help anybody else. I give to you this one thought to keep. I am with you still. I do not sleep. I am 1,000 winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on the snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning's hush, I am the swift uplifting rush of quiet birds in circled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not think of me as gone. I am with you still in each new dawn. Those words comfort me when I read that, because when we lose friends and family and people, I can look and see that and remember those things that I've just read about. Yeah, I'm going to remember that star or those stars in the night. I mean, that's you. That's my friend. Now, I lost a great friend about 10 years ago. It was in my wedding. I died of cancer. Ricky Simonon was his name. And Ricky was a baseball player. We graduated together. Just a great, dear friend. Died at the age of 50. Cancer ate him alive in less than a year. Just ate him up. And I think about why. Why? That's not for me to question. What it is for me to do is to live and remember and celebrate the memory of my friend. And that's what I had to learn how to do. So this morning, as we have a lot of troubles, and I know, Corey, I know you and I talked yesterday about it, and it is a troubling time when we lose people close to us and friends of ours. I'm going to try and celebrate that life.
And that's something I think that we have to do. You know, Coach Bell, faith, not fear, the way he approached it, he knew God. He knew his maker, and we know he's in a better place, not suffering anymore. And we know he fought the good fight. And Crabtree, Willie Crabtree, we know what type of lives he touched as well and how approachable he was as an official, one of the hardest jobs that there are, but a mandatory job that has to be there for these games to be played. And the way he approached and handled himself, not only from his peers, but his coaches as well, not having anything negative to say about him throughout his 26 years of officiating, just like within Coach Bell's 25 years of coaching, two young guys who were absolutely pillars of their community, and we're going to celebrate the life that they led. What they did in between their dash was so very important, and the type of example that they set for others to follow and striving to be the way that Willie Crabtree was and the way that he did officiate and the type of integrity that he had, the type of integrity that Emmanuel Bell had. That's what we're going to live by. That's what we're going to strive for, and that's what's going to continue to keep their memory alive forever and ever. And that's a situation that I know two guys will never be forgotten. We dedicate today's Prep Sports Report to Willie Crabtree and Coach Emmanuel Bell from Winona High School. Two guys that will be sorely and sadly missed, but never forgotten because of the way they lived their life while they were here with us. I want to thank our special guest, Terrell Owens, the NFL Hall of Famer that joined us in the second hour of the Prep Sports Report. Philip Murphy from McGill Toolin and Brian Blackman from Troy University joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure being with you, Coach Lasseter. Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines. You listened to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Don't go anywhere, because next week we'll be coming back with more high school sports.